It now gives me great pleasure to introduce our speaker for tonight, Felina and Kendall.
Thank you. Thank you, Karen and Dareth, for inviting us to do this. My name is Felina, and I'm an alcoholic. And there's a lot of people in this room. Can I see a number of hands for those who came from Santa Maria?
Five cities.
Yeah, we show up for our people in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I have a sobriety date. It's December 3rd, 2003. I have 21 years, 5 months, and 6 days, or 7,828 days of continuous sobriety. And I say that because I couldn't stay sober for a day when I got to Alcoholics Anonymous. And there's people in the room that can attest to that. I was not a vision for you when I showed up here. I was tore up from the floor up, and the alcohol wasn't working anymore, and I had progressed onto other things. I was in a drug-induced psychosis when I got here. And the tips of my fingers all the way up my arms were bruised from those other things that I was doing. And I have a home group. It's the Ghost Any Late group in Santa Maria. And I have a sponsor who knows she's my sponsor. And she has a sponsor. And my sponsor is sitting in the room tonight. So she'll keep me accountable. I know that for sure. And then my husband is here with me and my daughter. And I think it's amazing that we get to speak on Mother's Day. Part of my story has to deal with my mother. So I'm going to share a little bit of that too, what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. Both my parents are alcoholics, were alcoholics. My father is dead. My grandparents were alcoholics, and my great-grandparents were alcoholic, and that's not what makes me an alcoholic, but I am one. And my mom used to go to meetings, and I used to go with her, and she had a big book, and I thought, how big are those steps? But I went to the meetings anyway with her, and she didn't stay sober. So I did not think Alcoholics Anonymous would work, because it didn't work for her, so it wasn't going to work for me when I got as bad as I did. So I did not really want to come in here, but my God had other plans for me, and I'm so grateful for that. My childhood was scary. I did not feel safe in my own home. And part of my story involves a bit of sexual abuse. It was not physical, but it was what I saw in my life. And I learned a lot of things at a young age that I shouldn't have learned. And I gotta stop with the ums. Yeah. There it is again. Saw a lot of things I shouldn't have seen, and but I got to grow up that way. Whatever, why ever that happened, it did. And I learned a lot of survival skills, and those skills had to do with alcohol and drugs. That's what I saw. My parents both did those, and when it got so bad for me in life that I didn't want to live anymore, I began to do those. And that was at the ripe old age of 13. I had my first blackout when I was 13 years old. My mother had sent me to live with my father because she decided she couldn't raise me anymore. She wanted to go move to the mountains and live out there. Now, my mother was not mentally well. She never should have had me, and she told me that on a regular basis. The only reason why she had me is because she didn't believe in not having a child. So she had me and did not want me. She didn't want to raise me. She didn't know how to raise me. And physically, she probably shouldn't have had me. And I shouldn't have been around her at that time. But I was. And and we stopped talking when she sent me to live with my dad. And I ended up in San Ynez, and I went to San Ynez High School, which was my first place of going to a school the whole time. Before that, we moved every 2 years, so I went to 12 different kindergartens at the beginning, and then every 2 years, I went to a different school all around California until she said, go live with your dad. And I got to live in a school bus that didn't have any running water, and I got to shower with a garden hose until one of my best friends, who is still my best friend today, took me home with her, and she said, you're staying here. And her parents loved me unconditionally as one of their children. And they showed me what a loving, caring family looked like, and I never wanted to leave. And both of them have passed in the last 2 years. So I've gotten to grieve them in Alcoholics Anonymous. And prior, anytime someone died around us, I would drink at them. I drank at people. My mom came to visit me when I was 13 years old while I was living with my dad. And I knew she was coming, and my only solution was to get blackout drunk so I didn't have to see her. And I did that. My best friend that I mentioned snuck me off school campus and took me home. And I stayed there overnight. Nobody knew where I was. She finally got a hold of me and went to my school and told them that I was drunk on campus the day before and that I should be suspended. They didn't do that. What they wanted me to do was sit and talk about my problems. And I did that. And for that moment, it was okay. But I realized today that everything that I did with my drinking was at or towards someone because I was hurt. And I don't have to live like that today. I drank for 21 years. I had two minor possessions, 3 DUIs. Went to Central Coast Headway multiple times as a multiple offender, and was on probation, informal probation, which is only like for a year, for 13 years straight because of my drinking. I kept drinking and getting in trouble, but they wouldn't do anything about it. They just put me on another year of probation. And when I came into Alcoholics Anonymous in 2002, it was just to get the cops off my back and to keep having my life. And at the beginning that did happen, but I didn't stay sober. I went to the bars and told everybody that I had found Alcoholics Anonymous. I went to the hotels and told all my other friends that I was now in a 12-step program, and they're like, you don't need that here. So my sobriety date changed many times. In early sobriety, it took me probably a year and a half to get to the point where I didn't want to do that anymore. Someone had stepped in and taken my children from me until I got my act together. And I was pissed off and angry at her for doing that. But it was the only thing that saved my life. And that woman ended up being my biggest cheerleader in Alcoholics Anonymous. And a little over a year ago, we lost her. And one of her biggest things was to see me be a sober mom and have my kids back. And I got to do that in Alcoholics Anonymous. I cried in meetings at Alcoholics Anonymous when I was first getting sober because I didn't have my children. I couldn't have them back until I was stable. Now, my idea of stable was different than my sister-in-law's idea of stable. So they didn't quite mesh for a while. I did not have my children for 5 years in early sobriety, and that was the hardest thing for me, and to not drink over the fact that I didn't have my kids and they weren't with me. But I did everything I could so that I could get them back. And I would cry in meetings and say, I don't have my kids, how am I gonna do this? And people would tell me, it will be okay. Keep doing what you're doing so that you can be there for those kids, and you will get those kids back. And I did, and they got to say they wanted to live with me. And one of the reasons I got sober or wanted to get sober is because I didn't want to live the life I had. I didn't want to live drinking myself to bed every night or doing those other things that I was doing. it got so bad that my only decision was, I'm going to die, and I want to die. That was my only solution out of it, and my God had other plans for me. My God wanted me sober and wanted me to be a good mother to my children, not like the mother that raised me. And I looked in the mirror before getting sober, and I was her. And I didn't want my children feeling about me the way I feel about my mom. And I still, she did the best she could with what she had. And I have found other women who have been like a mother to me and who have been there and showed me how to raise my kids. And you're going to hear from one of them after me, who is now in Alcoholics Anonymous. But people in AA got to hear me cry, talk, and lose my mind over the fact that she was just like me. You know, she drank the same way I did. She did a lot of the other things the same way I did. And I was afraid that I would one day get the call that she was no longer here, because she did it the same way I did it. And that didn't, you know, my God had other plans. And my sponsor and other people told me, give your children to God. Give your children to God, you know, because I couldn't shake it into them to not drink like mom did. I couldn't, you know. If you had told me when I was younger not to drink, I wasn't going to drink. I never wanted to be an alcoholic. Now I don't want to be anything else but an alcoholic who's in sobriety. And I get to every day. And how much time we got left? Okay, that's what it was like. Right? I did a lot of what it was like. What happened? Well, my sister-in-law cornered me and told me, get your act together or you're never seeing your kids. And you don't tell that to me. You know, I live and breathe for those kids. And even in my alcoholism, when I was drinking, I was not the best parent. No, I did drink and drive with my kids. I took my kids to other people's houses to watch them while I went to the bars. Most of them don't remember how bad it was. What they do remember is that they were not with mom. And when I got them back, she told me, get sober, you're never seeing your kids. I got sober and I still couldn't see my kids. And 5 years later, flash forward 5 years, and I can't tell you how many meetings I had been in, but I know my first year, I went to 1,200 meetings in my first year. They said go to 30 and 30. I did 130. And I remember having so many cards that in case they asked me at court, that Suzanne one day says, you don't need any more cards. Like, we know you're sober. And I'm like, but the judge, like, I need this many, you know? And they're like, no, you know, when we talk to them, they know you're doing good. And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, I was crazy there for a while. I hid out in meetings because I didn't have my kids and I wanted to be sober and never drink again. And I don't have to today. I don't think about drinking like I used to. I'm an alcoholic. I'm going to think about it. Hot day, it sounds good. The day I had at work today, back when I was drinking, I would have drank. And I told some of the staff at work today that, you know, I get to go share tonight in front of people how I managed to stay sober. And this is one of those days where I wouldn't have stayed sober. But the thought to drink never occurred. I knew I had other things to do. The old lady that I am had to go get a mammogram. Then I got to run home, change, pick people up for Alcoholics Anonymous because I said I would, and then I get to come here tonight with my daughter and share our stories. And that is amazing for me that both of us are here and we get to do this together. What was like? What happened? 5 years turned into 10. At 10 years, I wanted to drink, and I had unworked the steps in Alcoholics Anonymous at 6 years, and fired my sponsor at 10 years, told her I didn't have to listen to her, And that was the biggest mistake of my life, because then I had an idiot for a sponsee and a moron for a sponsor. And that, you know, that was me. I was both. And I didn't want to share what was really going on. I had secrets. And I wasn't going to drink over those secrets, but I was going to drink at them. But because I had so many commitments in Alcoholics Anonymous, it was going to be after I met with my 16 sponsees, after I kept my 6 to 10 commitments that I had to meetings and other things, and the people in Alcoholics Anonymous that I show up for. So by the end of the night, it was like, okay, maybe tomorrow. And instead of that, I dug my feet in, all in again, in Alcoholics Anonymous, and started all over. I was like a newcomer at 10 years. And I redid the steps again. I've done them many times in Alcoholics Anonymous, because more stuff comes up the longer I get sober. And more stuff is revealed. And you hear that in the book. And that, this
big book
and a sponsor saved my life. I was told to read this book, study this book, and when I was new, I couldn't. I'd read something and I'd forget what I read until I read the first 164 pages, and I cried like a baby because I was all over that book. And so I did the same in Alcoholics Anonymous. I did like I did with my drinking and my using, and life took on a new meaning. And a lot of that had to do with me beginning to trust my God, because I would take my will and my life back. I'd turn it over and I'd go, I trust you with this, but not with this. I don't fully trust you because I don't know what you're capable of. You know, I knew there was a God because I wouldn't be here if there wasn't. And that's as far as it went. I had sponsors who told me I could have their God, and I did that for a while as far as that went. It was like half measuring when it came to the God thing, and my sponsor told me you could have any type of God you want. And I said, what do you mean? And she said, well, write down what you want from your God. And I said, okay, and I wrote it down, and I read it to her, and she's like, okay, so pretend your God is that. And I was like, you can do that? She said, try it. So I did. And then it kept getting better and better and better. And God showed up for me, showed off a whole lot between all that time when I didn't have that connection. things like the shack came out. When I got sober, there was Finding Nemo, which was still 12-step program. That movie was playing, and Bruce Almighty. So 12-step and God. Coincidence? That's what I would say. But I know a coincidence today is God's way of being anonymous. And for 5, 10, 15 years, coincidences is what I said everything was. And, you know, you can't have that many commitments. Thank you. I'm okay. I really am. life is good. Lots of meetings, lots of sponsees, still service commitments. I have a loving husband who is in Alcoholics Anonymous and loves Alcoholics Anonymous as much as I do. And so, how much time? Okay, 7 minutes. So, what it's like now. So for 18 years of my sobriety, I was in love with somebody I couldn't have, but I had him at the beginning, and I still wanted him, but I couldn't have him, and I was told to give him to God. And it was one of the hardest things I ever had to do, but I did it. And 18 years later, God's aligned all the stars in a wonderful align, and we started dating again. And within a year and a half, we got married. And now we've been married for almost 2 years in Alcoholics Anonymous, and our wedding was a lot of people from Alcoholics Anonymous who showed up again for us. And I, when I married him, it was one of the happiest days of my life. And it was a fairy tale for me. And I remember telling my sponsor that we had, she, obviously I told her, you know, we're getting back together. And she was like, it's about effing time. You know, it only took how many years? And I was like, well, you know, 18 years, 1 month, and 13 days. But who's counting? You know, just kidding. You know, but I know, like, whenever I have a, if I have a problem today, one of the first people I go to is him. Then I go to my sponsor. Probably messed up, but that's what I do. And, or I get in enough pain before I call my sponsor sometimes. But I don't get in that much pain anymore. So I don't have to call her as much as I used to. And I'm grateful for that. Like I said, I have a good life today because of Alcoholics Anonymous. It's one of the best things that ever happened to me, along with having five wonderful children who are all just like me. So any seat in here is open for the rest of them to come in, because my God knows that one of them needs it real bad right now. And we'll probably do an intervention, so pray for us. And I think I'm going to stop there. So, save more time for Kendall.